This recording, North Carolina 17, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time. So she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress and a furry yellow fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. Soon, that goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Comma on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came in a fancy jar and was very expensive. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. This is a story that must have happened about 1942. I know it was in the early years of World War II. And I was a child living in my home in Shelby, where we always had cats. We loved cats in our family. So I decided to write a poem. I love to write little rhymes. And I wrote a poem that, my name is Kitty, so I wrote a poem the name of which was Kitty's Cat. And it went like this, very short. I have a cat I love, though he's very fat and lazy. Sometimes he meows so loud, I think I will go crazy. I spoil him and I pet him so he will not catch a mouse. Then he walks about and purrs as if he owns the house. I call him Oochum Goochum, I call him Rusty Wusty. I call him Honey Sweetheart, but his real name is just Dusty. I sent that poem off to a children's magazine called We Wisdom, and they printed it. We were all thrilled. My mother, of course, wrote her sister immediately, Aunt Flossie, who was the family matriarch. At the time, I was her niece. She had a nephew, 7 years older than I, or maybe 10 years older than I, who was flying the hump in Burma, taking supplies, I guess, to the Chinese. She tried to write him about every other day, so just to keep him up on the family news. It happened that during this time, he was shot down over the jungle. He bailed out of his plane, but he was just lost, and everyone thought he was dead because he was in the jungle for a long time. I mean, not a terribly long time, but about a week or two. As it turned out, he was taken in by friendly natives who showed him the way back to his base. But, of course, they didn't know that. When he got back to the base, where his friends, the parachute packers, I think it were, who were from South Philadelphia, had gathered up his personal possessions. What had they found in his personal possessions but the copy of Kitty's Cat? And he said that when he walked into the camp, instead of being greeted with cries of joy and relief, he was greeted by recitations of Kitty's Cat in a South Philadelphia brogue, which they never let him forget, and which he never forgot either.